welcome all of you to this meeting. Special word of welcome is extended to the AME delegation and to National Treasury. Thank you for accepting our invitation. And I would also welcome the staff members and all guests present here this morning. This is a Standing Committee on Appropriation, and this morning we are looking forward to receiving a briefing from DPME on the evaluation of the alignment of APPs with vote allocations and analysis of vote performance, so as to help the committee in the process in the processing of the 2018 appropriation bill. Our main concern as SCOA is where are the key areas where we can intervene timeously, deepen transformation, ensure allocations are effective and accelerate implementation of the national development plan. But also, just as a reminder, I know we've entered into a working relationship with DPME on the submission of their quarterly performance reports, so that we consider them in conjunction with the Section 32 reports of the National Treasury. So we have entered into that just as a reminder so that you don't forget, and then you forward us those, and we will then make best use of your reports in the best interests of this country. All right, let us then have a fruitful and robust engagement this morning. And honorable members, thank you once more for coming. We will then move to the next item, which is a presentation by the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Environment. Apologies. May we take apologies?
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members and guests. We received one apology from the committee members for today's meeting. Is from Ms. Manana. She has taken family responsibility leave for the whole week. And then there's also an apology from the Minister of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. She will lead an interministerial committee to the Northwest Province. Also, the Director General for DPME will be accompanying the Minister. So those are apologies. Thank you.
Of course, I was looking forward to meeting the brand new Minister of DPME. Please give her our regards and well wishes. I know next time we will meet her. We're looking forward. But thank you very much. Honourable members, these are the apologies. Do you accept the apologies?
Yes, we do.
Apologies accepted. Thank you very much. Oh, yeah, you're right. Of course, we must also welcome, can't put you under guest, I must single you out, PBO, who are always helping us with these budget analysis. And thank you. Thank you for coming. All right, we will then move on to presentation by the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. Over to you. If you could introduce your team so that we know who we, you know, interacting with this morning, and we're looking forward. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, honourable members, Chairperson and colleagues. Firstly, thank you very much for giving DPME the opportunity to present on the alignment of the APPs to the NDP and the medium-term strategic framework. And we will also be touching on some key issues with regard to the budget prioritization framework in the presentation. Before I start with the presentation, I'd like to introduce myself and the team that I'm with today. My name is Ideshri Modli, and I'm from the Planning Coordination Branch at the DPME. To my right is Ms. Yudi Mokhaswa, and Yudi is the Director for National Planning, Strategic Planning, Annual Performance Planning, and Quarterly Performance Reports. To my left is Mr. John Kruger, and John is actually responsible for the Budget Prioritization Framework, or the Mandate Paper as it's commonly known. So since the presentation will touch on areas that cover both UD and John's work, they're also here to actually give input and share some of their experience with us. Okay. So moving on to the presentation, it's quite a lengthy presentation, Chair. There's about 77 slides. I'll try and move through it speedily, focusing on the slides that do need attention.
What to interrogate your slides.
Okay, thank you. So in terms of the presentation outline, the presentation will focus on the purpose, the levers for implementing
the NDP 2030, alignment of APPs with vote allocation as per the 2018 appropriation bill, analysis of vote performance for focused departments. I'd like to spend a bit of time on these slides. And the 2018 appropriation bill considerations in terms of mandate paper for budget 2018-19. The purpose, as you know, is to basically update the Standing Committee on Appropriations with an update on the alignment of APPs of national departments and the National Development Plan 2030 Goals, Medium-Term Strategic Framework, and the budget. In terms of the levers for implementing the NDP 2030, there are three key levers, and these are a strong and inclusive economy, a capable state, and active citizenry, capabilities of South Africans. And as we move on into the presentation and into the work that we do on the mandate paper, you'll see that the work of the mandate paper is actually centered around these three key areas. Now moving on into the detail per vote, with regard to alignment of annual performance plans with vote allocation as for the 2018 appropriation bill. So DPME assesses draft APPs of national departments to determine alignment of plans to the NDP priorities and the MTSS targets. We also look at measurability of plans. And we also look at alignment of plans to the core mandates of departments, technical compliance of plans with the requirements of the framework for strategic plans and APPs. And with Treasury, we also look at alignment of plans to the budget. So we do actually provide departments with a very comprehensive report that focuses on all these areas. The assessment of 2018-19 APPs indicated that national departments' APPs are aligned to the MTSS priorities. When we did this alignment exercise early in 2014-15, there were challenges with alignment. We're now actually quite happy to say that most departments' plans are aligned to the medium-term strategic framework. So we do this assessment and we do give every single national department an assessment report. In a few instances where there was misalignment, departments were informed and advised to ensure that all MTSF targets are reflected in the APPs and to assure alignment to the budget. Now we've done a few slides that focus on an assessment of alignment of plans to the budget in terms of the mandate paper priorities, or the budget prioritization framework, as we now call it. I'll be going through these slides per vote just to give you a detailed understanding of what alignment there is, whether there is alignment, to what extent there is alignment, and where there are challenges. I will focus mostly on the departments that actually have challenges. With regard to vote one, the presidency, the table 2018-19 APP reflects promoting an integrated approach to governance, leading the coordination of government policies and programs, promoting nation building and social cohesion, and advancing South Africa's interests. The indicators, there are about four indicators that we've actually reflected in this slide that actually speaks to the mandate and vision of the presidency. In terms of vote three, which is communications, the tabled APP reflects the rolling out of digital terrestrial television, developing a responsive communications policy and regulatory framework, and driving effective entity oversight. So communications does speak about the entities and how they actually drive their oversight. An integrated digital immigration communication and marketing strategy for subsidized and unsubsidized markets is being implemented in 2018-19. And then they've also given us four quarterly reports for 2017-18, showing consumer access to digital services, installations, and aftercare compiled. They want to manage analog signal transmission switch-off in five provinces, and two shareholder compacts and three accountability agreements. However, DPME has noted misalignment between some of the E&E performance indicators and the performance indicators reflected in the tabled 2018-19 APP. So for example, in the industry and capacity development program, the performance indicator number of stakeholder engagements coordinated per year is reflected in the 2018 E&E, however, it's not reflected in the tables 2018-19 APP. So in this case, we were wondering how the department will actually budget for this indicator, how they'll plan for it, how they'll report on it, and how they will actually hold themselves accountable for achieving this particular indicator. With regard to vote four, which is cooperative governance and traditional affairs, the tables 2018-19 APP reflects provision of sustainable basic services, improving access to basic services through municipal infrastructure, alleviating poverty through employment creation, and providing disaster relief. The indicators on this slide actually speak to this particular function of the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. However, with regard to this department, we've noted some misalignment between the 2018 E&E performance targets and the performance reflected in the tables 2018-19 APP. So, for example, in the Community Works Program, the 2018 E&E performance target for the number of work opportunities to be provided is 259,000. Whilst in the table 2018-19 APP, the performance target is reflected as 241,000. So there are discrepancies with regard to these targets for the same financial year. We also noted misalignment in the local government support and intervention management program. The 2018-19 E&E provides a measure of the percentage spending by municipalities on the MIG grant. However, the table 2018-19 APP reflects the measurement of the number of municipalities that will be supported on the MIG grant spending. So we do pick up on these inconsistencies, and we do raise it in the APP assessments and in the performance dialogues that we actually have with these national departments. Moving on to vote 5, which is home affairs. The tabled 2018-19 APP reflects the repositioning of the department, establishing a border management authority, reviewing international migration policy, modernizing and integrating information systems, improving and expanding client interfaces and infrastructure projects. The Department of Home Affairs has reflected a number of indicators on this slide that actually speaks to their vision and mandate of the department. Vote 6, which is International Relations and Cooperation, the table 2018-19 APP reflects strengthening regional integration and the African agenda, consolidating global economic, political, and social relations, enhancing operational capacity and developing and managing infrastructure projects and priorities. When we looked at the E&E and the APP, the indicators on the slide is actually aligned to their mission and what they set out to do for the 2018-19 financial year. On Vote 7, which is National Treasury, the Table 2018-19 APP reflects the revision of tax policy and strengthening financial sector regulations, managing future spending growth and fiscal risk, managing government assets and liabilities, and making government procurement more efficient, strengthening government financial management. And if you look at the indicators are aligned to what they actually set out to do in terms of their mandate for 2018-19. Vote 8 is the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. Their APP, our APP reflects the coordination and support of the planning functions across government, improving the capacity of state institutions, developing intervention programs to support service delivery and evaluating policy implementation and impact. One of the key areas of work that we do is the mandate paper. We started 3 years ago and we've also reflected that in our APP. In terms of Vote 9, which is public enterprises, the Table 2018-19 APP reflects the strengthening of oversight of state-owned companies, reducing the cost structure of the economy, and also monitoring the financial and non-financial performance of the state-owned companies to ensure appropriate investments are made to create jobs and sustain economic growth. We looked at the indicators, and interestingly enough, the indicators, especially with regard to the state-owned companies, have been aligned to what they set out to do with regard to this area of work. So, for example, this year they say that they'll focus on three shareholder compacts, including one with Eskom, 24 state-owned company quarterly financial review reports produced, and six state-owned companies' corporate plans reviewed. However, we've noted misalignments here with the Department of Public Enterprises. So, for example, in the Business Enhancement, Transformation, and Industrialization Program, the 2018 E&E performance target for the number of shareholder compacts to be signed is six, whilst in the tabled APP, the performance target is reflected as three. So we are seeing discrepancies in this particular area. Vote 10 is the Public Service and Administration. The tabled 2018-19 APP reflects the promotion of public service as a career of choice, improving the efficiency and effectiveness of management and operation systems, operationalizing the government employee housing scheme, increasing government's responsiveness and accountability to citizens, and promoting ethical behavior in the public service. The indicators on these slides are actually aligned to what they plan to do in the 2018-19 APP. Still in Vote 10, which is Public Service and Administration, we have the National School of Government. Their tabled APP reflects the department's contribution to key priorities. Then we have the Center for Public Service Innovation. And one of the things we'll be focusing on in 2018-19 is the reflecting the unearthing innovation, providing the tools for innovation, tracking and reporting on trends in innovation. Vote 10, we have the Public Service Commission. The Table 2018-19 APP reflects fighting corruption, strengthening human resource practices and management, and monitoring and evaluating service delivery performance. With regard to the Public Service Commission, their indicators actually is aligned to what they set out to do in the 2018-19 APP in terms of their mandate and function. Vote 11 is Public Works. Now, with Public Works, the APP reflects creating employment and investing in people, skills development in the construction and property sector, and the fight against corruption. If you look at the indicators, you can see that the indicators actually speaks to the number of work opportunities created, the number of public bodies reporting on expanded public works program, and of course the number of beneficiaries with opportunities to participate in the skills development program. Moving on to step SA, the tabled APP reflects modernizing and automating operations, statistical reform, and maintaining supply of statistical information. So we didn't note any challenges with regard to the ENE and the APP. Vote 13, which is the Department of Women, the tabled APP reflects analyzing, evaluating, and monitoring policy and program implementation, mainstreaming women's socioeconomic empowerment, and building stakeholder relations and raising awareness. If you look at the APP of the Department of Women, it is actually aligned to this particular mandate. Vote 14 is the basic education vote. The tabled APP reflects providing school infrastructure, enhancing teaching and learning, improving matric completion rates, increasing the supply of quality teachers, providing educational opportunities to learners with intellectual disabilities, monitoring performance, and feeding learners. I want to go on to slide 24, which speaks about the misalignment between the MTSF and the APP indicators for the Department of Basic Education. So what we found here is that, for example, the number of schools built through the Accelerated School Infrastructure Initiative that have reached practical completion and handed over to the beneficiaries for usage, as reflected in the MTSF, versus the number of new schools built and completed through our CD in the APP. DBE was also advised to ensure that provincial education departments plan for the following indicators. And when we assessed APPs, we also assessed to see whether these indicators were in the provincial APPs of departments. In terms of Vote 15, Higher Education and Training, the Table 2018-19 APP reflects expanded access to universities and increasing student financial aid, expanding access to and improving the performance of TVET colleges, developing artisans, and strengthening the management and governance of community education and training colleges. When we move on to slide 26, we have noted some misalignment between the MTSF and the APP. What we found was that MTSF targets for community education training was not in the APP, and the proportion of CETAs meeting standards of good government, the target is declining while the baseline is at 71%. We did advise DHET to revise its targets. With regard to Vote 15, which is health, the Table 2018-19 APP reflects implementing the second phase of national health insurance, expanding treatment and prevention programs for HIV and AIDS and TB, revitalizing public health care facilities, and ensuring accessible specialized tertiary health services. The indicators on slide 27 is actually aligned to the mandate of the Department of Health. However, if you move on to slide 28, we notice some misalignment between some of the 2018 ENE performance targets and the performance targets reflected in the tabled 2018-19 APP. So, for example, in the Primary Health Care Services Program, the 2018 ENE performance target for the number of functional ward-based primary healthcare outreach teams is 3,500, whilst in the table 2018-19 APP, the performance target is reflected as 2,000. This is a big discrepancy, and we will be engaging with the department to see how we can actually rectify it moving forward. With regard to Vote 17, which is social development, the tabled 2018-19 APP reflects deepening social assistance and expanding access to social security, improving welfare services through policy and legislative reform, expanding the social worker workforce, improving access to quality ECD services and ensuring food security and healthier habits. So DSD do have indicators that actually speaks to this particular mandate. However, on slide 30, we have noted misalignment between the MTSF and the APP. So misalignment can be seen in the number of vulnerable individuals accessing food. The cumulative MTSF target of 2.4 million will not be achieved. Number of children with disabilities accessing ECD, the number of civil society organizations trained, and the number of absorbed scholarship recipients. So there are discrepancies, and when we have our performance dialogue with the DSD, we will actually have a conversation as to how we can assist with the, with these particular challenges. With regard to Vote 18, which is correctional services, the tabled 2018-19 APP reflects providing detention that is humane, safe, and secure. It also reflects needs-based rehabilitation and reintegrating offenders into the community and managing non-custodial sentences and parole. We have indicators there that actually respond to this particular mandate. With regard to Vote 19, which is defense and military veterans, the tabled APP reflects sustaining South Africa's defense capabilities, safeguarding South Africa's borders and territorial integrity, implementing the maritime security strategy, participating in peace support operations, participating in internal operations, and expanding and maintaining infrastructure. However, if you go on to slide 33, we have noticed that with regard to the military veterans as well, the table 2018-19 APP reflects delivering key benefits to military veterans and their dependents on the development of legislation and policies. So there were no misalignments with regard to this vote. Vote 20 is the Independent Police Investigative Directorate. The table 2018-19 APP reflects investigating high-impact cases, finalizing the review of governing legislation, safeguarding information and data, conducting community outreach events. They have about six indicators that is actually directly aligned to this mandate. If we move on to slide 35, we have noted that there are misalignment between some of the ENE performance targets and the performance targets in the APP. The misalignment, for example, is in the Investigation and Information Management Program. The 2018 ENE performance target for the percentage of cases registered and allocated within 72 hours of written notification is 91%, whilst in the table 2018-19 APP, the performance target is reflected at 79%. Moving on to Vote 21, the tabled 2018-19 APP reflects improving access to justice, integrating and modernizing the criminal justice system, transforming state legal services, and protecting vulnerable groups. Here we see that the indicators are aligned to the vote. With Vote 22, which is the Office of the Chief Justice and Judicial Administration, I will skip this one because the indicators are aligned to the vote. I think in the interest of time, I'll just focus on where there is misalignment, Chair, so we can focus on the quarterly performance report. Vote 23 is police. So with the South African Police Services as well, they have indicators that are aligned to the tabled APP. However, still on Vote 23 with the Civilian Secretariat for Police Services, you'll notice that there's misalignment between the MTSF and the APP. The MTSF target on the number of established community safety forums is not in the APP. However, the APP alludes to the number of workshops facilitated with provincial secretaries and municipalities on the establishment of CSF, which is not aligned to the MTSF. With vote 24, we find that the indicators have been aligned to the MTSF. Similarly, with vote 25, we see alignment. We also see alignment with vote 26, which is energy. So there's no challenges there. With environmental affairs, vote 27, the table 2018-19 APP reflects enforcing and monitoring compliance with environmental legislation, creating job opportunities, moving towards a green economy, managing waste, managing climate change and air quality. And as we move into the indicators, you see they actually align to the mandate of this particular department. However, on slide 44, DPME noted misalignment between some of the 2018 E&E performance targets and the performance targets reflected in the tabled 2018-19 APP. So for example, in the environmental program, the 2018 E&E performance target for the number of work programs is 77,000, while in the tabled APP, the performance target is reflected as 75,000. So we will be raising the discrepancies with the department. With regard to vote 28, which is labor, the indicators have been aligned to the mandate and the MTSF. Similarly, with vote 29, mineral resources, there has been alignment. Vote 30 as well, science and technology, the indicators have been aligned to the MTSF. I'm on slide 47. On slide 48, small business development, no misalignment has been noted. Slide 42 as well, telecommunications and postal services, there is no misalignment. However, if we go to vote 33, which is tourism, and I'm on slide 50. The table 2018-19 APP reflects marketing South Africa as a tourist destination, supporting initiatives that encourage transformation in the sector, improving tourism facilities and creating job opportunities in rural areas. So they do have indicators that speak to this mandate. However, we do see some kind of misalignment. DPME noted misalignment between some of the 2018 E&E performance targets and the performance targets reflected in the tabled 2018-19 APP. So for example, in the Destination Development Program, the 2018 E&E performance target for the number of full-time equivalent jobs created through the Working for Tourism Program is 4,813, whilst in the table 2018-19 APP, the performance target is reflected as 6,355. So this is a noticeable discrepancy with regard to the target. With regard to vote 34, which is trade and industry, I will skip because the indicators are aligned to the mandate and the MTSF. Similarly, with regard to vote 35, transport, we see alignment. Vote 36, water and sanitation. The table 2018-19 APP reflects sustainable water infrastructure and development, enhancing project planning and strengthening regulatory oversight. However, on slide 54, we noticed misalignments between some of the 2018 E&E performance targets and the performance targets reflected in the tabled 2018-19 APP. So for example, in the Water Infrastructure Development Program, the 2018 E&E performance target for the number of existing bucket sanitation backlog systems and formal settlements replaced with adequate sanitation services is 11,844, whilst in the table 2018-19 APP, the performance target is reflected as 15,638. Similarly, the Department of Water and Sanitation was advised to monitor the implementation of new regional bulk infrastructure grant projects owing to the resolution of accruals and mismatch of existing budgets. And I think it is not the budget, it's the bucket eradication program. Apologies for that. On vote 7, which is arts and culture, the indicators have been aligned to the mandate, so I'll skip this slide. Similarly, with vote 38, human settlements, the indicators have been aligned. Vote 39, rural development, they have about 4 indicators that are aligned directly to the mandate. Vote 40, which is sport and recreation, South Africa, there are also about 8 indicators that are aligned to the mandate, and there's alignment with the medium-term strategic framework. So, Chair, that basically brings me to the first part of the presentation. With your permission, I'd like to move on to the second part, which focuses on an analysis of both performance-focused departments.
Honourable members, I take it that you are fine with DPME giving us a full presentation of everything and then we engage. Agreed?
Yes.
You may proceed.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So in terms of the analysis of both performance-focused departments, we basically looked at the quarterly performance reports, which we actually share with you on a quarterly basis. And this second part of the presentation will basically focus on departments that did not achieve targets in the 2017-18 financial year. So the first one is DAF. That's the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. The following targets were not met. The number of hectares planted in temporary unplanted areas, commercial fishing rights allocated and appeals processed. With regard to DBE, the targets that were not met or that were exceeded were the number of learners obtaining subject passes towards NSC that's been exceeded, the number of Funza Lushaka bursary awarded has also been exceeded. The following targets were not met. The number of teachers participating in physical science, accounting, and math diagnostic tests. The number of new schools built, provided with sanitation and water through a CD. With regard to DHET, the following targets were not achieved: the completion of policy framework and policy collaboration between professional bodies, government and quality councils, and the completion of the amended national plan for PSET. With regard to DHS, which is the Department of Human Settlements, they have a number of targets that were not met. These were the number of municipalities assessed for accreditation, the number of catalytic projects implemented, informal settlements assessed in terms of the feasibility studies, informal settlement upgrading plans developed, households in informal settlements upgraded, non-statutory military veterans housed, and a number of targets related to grants that require alignment to DORA requirements. So human settlements did not achieve quite a few targets in the 18-19 financial year. With regard to the Department of Energy, the following targets were not achieved: the governance framework and protocol for nuclear new build program, monitor and reduced energy consumption in target buildings as part of energy and climate change strategy, the social impact assessment of integrated energy, the submission of CAB memo on gas amendment bill to unlock infrastructure development and on national energy regulator amendment bill, the finalization of gas development plan and negotiations with Mozambique on infrastructure development, the municipal asset management program, and negotiations on power purchase agreements or transmission interconnections. With regard to the Department of Health, the following were not met: the central repository for the funded and unfunded patients, the dissemination of maternal, newborn, child, adolescents, women health and nutrition strategy, the malaria incidence in 1,000 population at risk, facilities maintained, refurbished and maintained in NHI districts and those outside NHI pilot districts, the percentage of food tests conducted with a normative turnaround time, and the managers accessing the coaching and mentoring programs. With regard to social development, the following targets were not met. The Social Services Practitioners Bill, that's the Older Person Amendment Bill, the approval of the National Plan of Action for Children in South Africa, the malaria incidence in 1,000 population at risk. With regard to the Department of Transport, the following targets were not met: the implementation of the road freight strategy, the National Rail Bill submitted to cluster, the Merchant Shipping Bill not submitted to cabinet. Water and Sanitation Chair also has a few indicators that have not been met. These are rivers in which the River Eco Status Monitoring Program is implemented, the feasibility studies for water and wastewater services projects, the completion of implementation readiness studies for water and wastewater services projects, job opportunities created through implementing augmentation infrastructure projects, projects related to the regional bulk infrastructure, resource performance supported, tanks installed to harvest water for food production, non-compliant wastewater systems monitored, and water supply systems assessed for compliance with Blue Drop. With regard to police, the following targets were not met: stolen, robbed vehicles recovered, rural and urban rural mixed police stations implementing the set criteria for four pillars of rural safety strategy, percentage of routine cases exhibits finalized, and percentage of crime intelligence proactive reports operationalized. So Chair, that brings me to the end of the second part of the presentation with regard to the targets that were not met. With your permission, I'll move on to part three, which speaks to the 2018 Appropriation Bill considerations, with particular emphasis on the mandate paper or the budget prioritization framework. So there was a difficult context for budget 2018. There were difficult trade-offs that actually had to be made to stabilize prospects. The balance as reflected in the appropriation bill seems sound, although warning signals in a number of key areas. Key areas, efficiency and risk, could be seen in the growth inhibitors and policy blockages. So if you look at the mandate paper, we've identified a few growth inhibitors and ways in which we can actually address them. We also focused on efficiency and value for money. And also we did some groundwork on demand and risk areas. The budget 2018 finalized in difficult conditions, which were slow economic and revenue growth, unsatisfactory progress against priorities, and pressured and impatient citizens. In terms of the budget priorities framework and the budget, the criteria for the budget priorities framework were the priority spending areas, which focused on demand pressures, risks, crises, opportunities, and catalysts. We focused on growth inhibitors or policy blockages. We also focused on efficiencies and savings, where we can actually save and get more value for money. And we also spoke to things like removing non-core programs, non-performing programs, to see how we can actually save money and actually also respond to the duplication of services across government. The NDP levers are economic services, social services, administration, and protection services. And if you look at the mandate paper, you'll see that it is actually centered around these three levers. And these three levers will actually contribute to the NDP targets of jobs, incomes, and livelihoods for inclusive growth, will contribute to the NDP target of no poverty, and will contribute to the NDP target of reducing inequality. In terms of the priorities for budget 2018, we identified seven priorities. And they are small business development and community-based workers, youth opportunities and labor-intensive programs, infrastructure spending, land reform and agriculture, regional integration and development. These first five priorities actually speaks to the first pillar, which is the strong and inclusive economy. Priority six, which is social protection, education and skills, and this priority actually speaks to the lever of capabilities of South Africans. And priority seven is the integrated plan to fight crime, which actually speaks to the lever of capable state and protection services. And as I said, if we achieve these priorities, it will actually contribute to the NDP targets. In terms of the priority outcomes in Budget 2018, for the first lever, which is economic services, and for the first five mandate paper priorities, what we did is for small business development and community-based workers, youth opportunities, infrastructure spending, land reform and regional integration and development, we focused on the Jobs Fund additional for EPWP and the Community Works Program. We focused on agriculture, production and export monitoring. We focused on a reduction in baseline of some infrastructure streams. With regard to social protection, education and services, which contributes to the social services lever, there was a 57 billion plus PSET in addition. We focused on the NHI and we focused on increases in the social grants. And then finally, on the integrated plan to fight crime, there was an allocation made to Stats SA for Census 2021 and another allocation made to the security cluster for elections. So these are basically the high-level mandate paper priorities and actually the adjustments that actually correspond with them. With regard to Budget 2018 and making space for priorities, the budget prioritization framework for Budget 2018 had to focus on finding space for priorities given the slow growth. It focused on key areas of wastage and cost containment. And we've also noted some success with cost containment over recent years. So for example, spending on travel and subsistence declined by an average 1.8% per annum between 2013-14 and 2016-17. Catering, entertainment and venue rental also declined by an annual average of 3.6%. And spending by consultants dropped by 4.1% per year over the same period, and of course conferences by 7% per year. Other areas of continued focus, both in 2018 and in 2019, is improving the value for money in procurement, costs of litigation, efficient infrastructure delivery, shared services and systems, revenue opportunities, and redundant assets. On the work of redundant assets, DPME is doing an audit of redundant assets in 2018-19 just to see what's out there and what we can actually utilize in terms of generating revenue. So on Budget 2018, there were cuts against the MTEF baseline and increased taxation. There was a narrowing of the budget deficit and stabilization of debt below 60% of GDP. Spending continues to grow in real terms. There's an average annual growth in spending of 7.2% against inflation of 5.4%. Most functions groups continue to grow in real terms. However, post-school education and training, which is critical for skills, economy and employment, is the fastest. There's some protection against VAT in social protection. General public services see real decline and peace and security marginally below inflation, but defense and home affairs is declining in real terms. Innovation, science and technology marginally above inflation, and the payment for capital assets grow above 2% in real terms per year, but Treasury estimates that public sector infrastructure spend well below inflation growth and slipping as a proportion of GDP. So this slide basically speaks to spending by levers and funding groups. So for each of the levers and the priorities, we speak to the funds that have been allocated, the percentage total, and the change. So for example, in the economic services, industrialization and exports received 33 billion. And then there was also a change in agriculture and rural development, job creation and labor, economic regulation and infrastructure, innovation, science and technology, and community development. This is all under lever one. Similarly, under lever two, we see funding per area, which is PSET, basic education, health and social development. And finally, under governance and admin services, we also have allocations under social development, general public services, and peace and security. In terms of growth inhibitors and policy blockages, a number of areas where improving growth prospects do not depend on funding, but making key decisions and finalizing refining policy. So for example, in economic services, we need to focus on infrastructure sector regulation and funding, roads, ports and water. We need to also focus on strengthening sector approaches. So for example, in mining, telecoms and energy. We need to do work on spatial injustice and efficiency, land reform and human settlement. And of course, we need to, and we have started doing work with regard to state-owned company governance and orientation. So these are the growth inhibitors that we identified in 2018, and these are the areas that we would need to focus on 2018 and 2019 moving forward. Even in the 2019 mandate paper, we've actually expanded on these growth inhibitors and actually reflected ways in which we can actually address them. With regard to social services, we need to focus on PSET access and quality, the TVET and community college strategy and curriculum, that is to make it more responsive to needs of learners, implementing higher education bursaries and allowances, and of course we also need to focus on health, the NHI and ECD, with regard to both systems and funding. With regard to administrative services and protection services, we need to focus on eliminating duplication, overlap, waste, and fixing outdated systems. And the thinking around this is if we eliminate duplication and overlap, then we will actually be an opportunity to actually save money and actually generate more revenue. We also need to focus on secure, sustainable wage settlements. And then we need to focus on underutilization of defense capabilities and capacities as per the defense review. In terms of efficiency and value for money, some progress in key areas, but we need to continue to focus and improve data and monitoring. So we don't have adequate data on many areas, but we need to focus on consultants, travel, procurement, litigation, infrastructure delivery, and redundant assets. We need to focus on overlap, duplication, and waste in government systems. We need to focus on inadequate and dated operational information and management systems that do not work, that are archaic, that do not give us the information that we need. We also need to focus on better monitoring and driving of key programs. So key programs such as localization, the 30% set aside, and the 30-day payments. We also need to monitor employment creation and community workers. The medium-term approach to ensure systems and data adequate to purposefully drive, improve efficiency and value for money. So these are basically the key areas in the 2018 mandate paper, and we bolded it in the 2019 paper. In terms of demand, risk, and opportunity, in key social services, access and quality pressures against constrained budgets, we're having continuing warnings on, for example, school sanitation, learner-teacher ratios, student experiences, which are not good. We have the example of the Life Isedimeni, we have the listeriosis example, And these are basically warning systems that we need to start getting more aggressive in our monitoring. Key shifts in climate and technology exacerbating pressures, large risks, but also large opportunities. So for example, there's opportunities in infrastructure in terms of water, sanitation, energy and transport, economic competitiveness, we need to accelerate movement into future industries where there's significant strength in the environmental sector, but also strong experiences in agriculture. We need to focus on innovative science and technology innovations. We also need to focus on ICT in government administration and for improving service delivery. We also need to engage in a forward-looking approach in terms of how we actually going to work aggressively to achieve the targets in the National Development Plan. And then, of course, we cannot forget the risks, especially with regard to the wage settlements, the financing of state-owned enterprises, our credit ratings, and then of course risks such as the drought that we've seen in the Western Cape. So that basically brings me to the end of my presentation, Chairperson. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity this morning.
Well, I must thank you for the well-researched, informative and useful information, insightful presentation. I kept on looking at members' reaction to this. They were all concentrating because this is, I think it's good music for their ears this morning. Thank you so much. Honorable members, I will now open the floor for interaction with the presentation. Okay, maybe before they come in, it's a pity we have not asked PDO to also do their presentation, which triggered this type of a response. It is a presentation that spoke to alignment of the NDP indicators with the department's plans, APPs. Because without that alignment, then you take it through to your MTSF period, you know, that alignment. So without that alignment from the very word go, we might find ourselves missing on the NDP targets in 2030. So when this was brought to our attention, we then thought our partners in this one would be your good self. So that if it has not happened in this first phase of the NDP implementation, let's make sure that in the next MTSF, that alignment is there and it's linked to the budget. And so that come 2030, we must all rise with excitement on the mission accomplished. So I know that, I don't know if you were able to get that report, because you gave it to the DG. Did you see that report?
Okay, we have seen it.
Okay, so that's one area that if, as this committee, we say we have made an impact, is ensuring that moving forward, there's that alignment. All NDP, NDP indicators, all of them are aligned with all the budgets. So maybe let me ask you to comment on that one now before members come in to enter this. Because if we have not achieved on that one, it's not a train smash. We need another meeting where we talk to that, because we're looking at this starting at least by your MTBPS message, you know, so that come the other new term, that there's that alignment. Okay, may I just for your comment.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I think we concentrated absolutely on the empties if all those actions and indicators and check whether those are included in APPs. That was the exercise that we did. And I think integration, the topic basically is integration, to make sure that we integrate the NDP into, but also on a very micro level so that we can measure it. So that was the things that we did. But I mean, this is a very good exercise as well to get the technicalities also right in terms of the E&E, because you know people copy and paste and they don't, sometimes they miss something, and that is exactly what your presentation also identified.
Honourable members, over to you.
Honourable member McLaughlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, with due respect to you and the team, I don't really share your opinion.
Come again, I'm sorry.
I say I don't really share your opinion.
Oh, okay.
We were presented with this presentation.
We
got it at 7:30 last night, 77 slides. I know our normal request to departments is no more than 12 slides. I haven't seen the letter of instruction that went to DPME, so I can't really comment on whether they complied with the instruction or not. But from our point of view, why I was concentrating through this was I was trying to find the relevance of what's in here to us. It is a very good presentation, you're correct, but it bears very little bearing on what we do as a committee. And that was my puzzle, because we deal with money. We're the Appropriations Committee. We have to look at money and how money is spent. How effective is our spending of money? And I didn't see much of that in your presentation. I can't have a look at this presentation and see whether the departments are actually getting any effective use of the money that's allocated to them. You give us a good picture of who's sort of staying in line with what's on the APPs and so on, but what I would like to have seen is they also, the departments, I understand, submit an estimate of their spend and what spend they're expecting to do over whatever period. And my understanding is that those estimates very seldom have any bearing at all on the APP. And I think that for our purposes is far more important as to whether it's in line with the NDP at this point in time. I mean, NDP is our main goal. I do understand that, but I would like to see something that tells us where we are going in terms of what we're spending. Is that in line with the budget and our targets? In many respects here, you tell us about all sorts of things, but you don't give us any detail, with all due respect. There are a lot of places where I made sort of notes, but you give us a statement like, if I can find something on just bear with me for a sec. Just as an example, on slide 8, I think it is, you mentioned in the first bullet point, the table 2018-19 APP reflects the rolling out of digital terrestrial television, developing a responsive communications policy and regulatory framework, driving effective entity oversight. Now, I'm sure we're all aware that this is about 3 years overdue already, and we're still not where we should be. I would like to hear more on that line. Where has our spending gone? Why are we so far out of our target range, but we're still spending money and we haven't quite got there yet? It's that sort of thing I feel that we should be trying to get out of this. I mean, your slide 9 tells us will be. Now, this is just a wish list. It's not talking to us about the effective spending of money. Or the opposite, if it comes to that. also in slide 14, National Treasury, 50.3% percentage of GDP is our net loan debt. What are we doing about it? It's just escalating. It's getting out of hand. We spend more money servicing loans than we spend on basic education. It's just a ridiculous situation, and there's no end in sight. It's just getting worse and worse. How are we going to address this? What are we doing about these kind of specific things is what I'd like to know. So, ma'am, I could carry on, but I think I've made my point with a few examples I've mentioned. Thank you.
Thank you for your input, Honourable Member McLaughlin. Any other input? Honourable Member Mufonyani? Honourable Member McLaughlin has a point. See, this is a long discussion. But if you're going to have members more efficient, analyze it before this meeting in preparation for this meeting. So they got it last night. See, now, only now, the first is taking the block, you know, because they are then only now looking at the highlighting those areas of information. So in future, we'll appreciate to get the document at least 3 days, because they are being reasonable. The honor member, 3 days before. Normally in other committees, if for instance they receive this at night, this morning they will get sent to bed and they still need time to go and study presentation. So if you can help us there, that's your area on this topic. Okay, other members, Mubanyani? Sorry.
Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you very much to PME for the presentation. First one being in terms of the target. You know, when you look at the misalignment that you've indicated, a lot of, on the whole, I must say that there's a lot of improvement from what we've seen in the past, but what is happening now is this type of misalignment where you get different figures. It makes you wonder why there are so many instances of figures that differ from the APT, with the APT. Do you find that perhaps it's just a matter of, I think you use the word cut and paste, is it cut and paste, or people are just ticking the box to make sure that they put something down, because you can't have so many of these mistakes.
It's a mistake. It's too much of a mistake, if we want to call it a mistake.
The other thing is the issue of the 30-day payment. Really and truly, this thing has been going on forever and ever. And you just wonder how we're ever going to. What is your take as a DPME, I mean, in terms of this, of this particular one? The other thing, in terms of, you know, you've correctly said that this funding cannot really solve a problem, not just funding, but do you perhaps find that it's issues of leadership and management that are causing this problem? Because sometimes you find that it's not so much that people are not getting adequate funding, but people just don't do what they're supposed to do. Which again makes you wonder if we've got a proper leadership there, or people are just complying for the, I mean, what you can call malicious compliance, where you say, I've done this, but you don't really apply your mind to it. What else do I want to ask? And these redundant assets that you mentioned, what process are you actually using? Are you centralizing them, or are you coming up with guidelines on how to deal with them? Because I'm just trying to think on how you would want to approach this, because I agree
there could be lots of money that can actually be made out of it. Because now and again we change furniture, we change this, we change that, and buy new ones. I think I will end there for now, Chair. Thanks.
Any other?
Thank you very much, Chair. And thanks for the presentation. I think there is some improvement. I would like to ask every department to give us a seed of redundant assets and reasons for calling them redundant and precisely how you're going to dispose of them. Thank you.
So a list of all the redundant assets and a plan on how that part is going to be managed. Okay. Over to you or your staff.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members, for the questions. I will answer them to the best of my ability, but I do want to bring in my colleagues UD and Rose, who work directly with these areas of work as well, to give more information if need be. Firstly, apologies. Please accept our apology for submitting the presentation late. I know 7:45 was quite late for a 77-minute presentation, and I'll take it back to the team responsible and also flag this challenge. So apologies from GPME and from me to you. In terms of the targets, different figures, and why, most of the cases we have targets that are differently in the E&E and the APP. Because number one, departments are copying and pasting, but in other instances, they do the E&E without actually taking into consideration that they've already set targets in the APP. So they set targets in the APP, they forget all about it, and then they do the E&E, and then they come up with a new set of targets. They use a different set of data to come up with targets for the E&E and targets for the APP. And those are the cases why there are, in some cases, slight discrepancies with regard to the targets. I must say this problem was huge a few years ago, but I'm happy to say it's not as bad. We have seen significant improvements over the years. And then with regard to the presentation, actually focusing on planning the MTSF, the NDP, and not focusing adequately on whether we're getting value for money. I think it's a very good point of comment you raise, but our starting point is that when we budget, we actually budget taking into account the indicators and targets in the plan. And if you have the wrong indicators and targets, you're immediately not going to get value for money. So, for example, we did the presentation of the APP assessments, and I think, for example, there were one or two departments that had a whole lot of indicators that they did not achieve on. I think it was water and sanitation and human settlements. Then you ask yourself, if these departments didn't achieve on these indicators, surely we are not getting value for money. Because if the indicators are aligned to the mandate and the MTSF, then they should be actually churning all their budget towards achievement thereof. So for us, the point of departure in the whole value for money and budgeting process is the fact that we need to set credible plans that actually reflect the priorities of government. And that's the starting point. We need to start there. So we can't really start with the budgets first. Once we have the priorities of government reflected in plans, then departments have no alternative but to move in that direction of achieving those priorities, and then we align the budget to those priorities. But be that as it may, we have partnered with National Treasury, and we're hosting performance dialogues with Treasury just to bring the quarterly performance reporting information and the financial information together to see whether we're achieving the priorities of government, number one, but number two, are we getting value for money? How are we spending the budget? Are we prioritizing? So that's my take on the planning and budgeting. With regard to the issues of leadership and management, our department's not doing what they should. Yes, I think leadership and management are very important. They play a very crucial role in the achievement of indicators, targets, and mandate of a department. But for me, it's the whole issue of accountability. Do we hold individuals accountable for what they should be doing? So, for example, in a plan and a program two, let's just revert back to those departments that had a whole lot of indicators that were not achieved. Are senior managers responsible for those indicators? Are they being held to account for them? Similarly, are there early warning mechanisms within the department to say, but in quarter one you didn't achieve, in quarter two you didn't achieve, how are you going to fast track? I mean, do we just collect data or do we use the data to drive performance? And interestingly enough, I was at a conference last week and this was one of the issues raised, that we collect data for compliance, we do planning for compliance, but we don't actually use the information to drive performance and to drive change and to raise awareness amongst the organization with regard to why we do what we have to do. Even on that note, if you look at education, for example, or health, for example, the question we ask ourselves is, do teachers actually know why they have to collect the 10th day headcount statistics? Have we communicated? Have we empowered them? Have they been, you know? Similarly, in health, nurses are actually collecting a lot of administrative data. Are they just collecting it because of compliance, or are they collecting it because they know why we need to collect information on HIV/AIDS or TB infection rates, etc.? So I think it's about holding people accountable, sharing information and knowledge, but also using the data that's there to actually drive performance within an organization. In terms of the question on redundant assets, I'll speak to it very broadly and my colleague John will provide further detail. We're actually basically incubating the work on redundant assets this year, so we're starting with the work. And the idea is that we want to get a sense of what redundant assets are out there, the value of the redundant assets, and then from there take a decision as to how we can actually deal with this issue in terms of generating revenue for the country. John will speak to that because he's actually leading that particular project. Then I'll also like to hand over to Yudi, who would also add on the targets and the non-achievement thereof and how we hold people accountable. Thank you very much.
I just think on the redundant assets, you know, it's fairly initial phases on our work. Our DG feels very strongly about it. Apologies. So with the redundant assets, you know, the work that DPME is doing there is very initial phases. So I mean, it's still really, you know, some of the work is still definitional. How wide are we going to go? Because if you look at government assets, it's pretty wide and a whole range of things. And also there are many systems and accounting systems that have been speaking to that stuff. So we're really in the first phase of exploring. We don't even not quite certain what Treasury has done on that in recent years and exactly what we can get from the asset and liability section and the account in general in Treasury. So it's just a very strong feeling that in this fiscal climate, we must investigate all the possibilities, you know, that we're not sitting on areas where, you know, there are perhaps even, you know, small wins and can relieve fiscal pressures. So we'll have to give you more detail about this, specifically what we found about, you know, what handles of government got on its assets, and we know the Auditor General's focused on that a lot and so on. So I think there's been a lot of progress, but we're really starting to investigate. And the 30-day payment, I mean, we must sort of We have got colleagues, our colleagues from public sector monitoring focuses specifically on the 30-day payment system, so I haven't got the most recent information. I think we are all a bit aghast that this can go on for so long and that we can struggle so much to get on top of it. I think there's been success and we'll have to report specific successes come from that team. I think what we're flagging here is, you know, you've got inadequate systems, it's very difficult to get on top of these things because you can't track it easily. So, I mean, so for our team working on that one issue, they get a complaint, but then they must get the real evidence, the accounting evidence, and so on. And, you know, some of us have the sense that government's financial systems have not really been keeping up. And it's not really financial system, it's administrative systems. We, the world out there, have gone onto enterprise management systems. Our government departments don't have that, call it modern enterprise management systems, and that makes it so much more difficult to track these things. So that's why we think there's a bigger agenda. It's not just about sorting this, telling people to pay tomorrow. There's a bigger system problem, but I think also when you start digging into these things, there are also broader problems that departments have got real budget constraints, you know, so part of 30-day payment is also just they run up against budget constraints, so it is also a more complex problem. But I think we didn't really, we haven't got the information yet to give you a detailed update on that. And I think that comes to the first question of what we are actually, you know, so what does all this information mean for us? And I think in your letter to us, there's an issue of, you know, looking at the performance and especially at high-risk departments. And I think we haven't done a lot of that here because it's really not, as I see it, that part of the cycle. Here we've got the appropriation bill. It must be approved. Coming the next four quarters, we'll focus more specifically on different aspects of risks. And the different departments will, Treasury will focus on the spending by quarter, we will focus on the performance by quarter and so on. So I think we realize there are a lot of missing aspects in this presentation, but see it really that that will come in the next quarters as we report on the different types of risks that we faced in government, the spending risk, the performance risk, the systems risk and so on. Thank you.
Just to add on the issue of misalignment of targets between the EME and the APP. So what we do as DPME to try and address that is we assess the first draft and the second draft of the APP that we receive from departments, but we do it together with National Treasury, and the reason is to make sure that what is in the plans is actually reflected in the budget documents. What we also do is once we have done an assessment and made recommendations to the departments, we have bilateral meetings with those departments and discuss the issues that we would have identified in terms of indicators and targets and alignment to the budget. We also assess their quarterly performance reports, so we do have quarterly review reports that we issue to departments and we have engagements with them. And Idrisha has already talked about the performance dialogues that we have, looking at achievements of the MTSF targets, achievement of the quarterly performance targets, the quarterly expenditure, whether there's alignment between spending trends and performance trends, and any other policy and implementation challenges that a department would be facing. So in a performance dialogue, that's where we discuss all those issues, and it's a platform to assist the departments to make sure that there is progress and we don't continue with ongoing operation as is, whether we're going in the wrong direction or not. So it is work in progress. There are some huge improvements, but there are still some challenges in a few departments where we need to engage with them more and see where the challenges are. In some instances, it's the turnover rate within departments where people leave and you get a new person who wants to change the plan while it wasn't necessary to actually change the plan, but because it's a new person, they feel like they have to make those changes in the plan. So those are the areas that we focus on to try and deal with the misalignment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of cut and paste, you know, maybe we may like to criticize the government officials. Maybe it's a question of lack of empowerment. You know, this morning I was sick the whole week. This morning I was given a form from my organization, assessment form, and I went through it. And I just said, you know, this is very good. I wish this type of form could be given to government officials, because they even ask you, where do you need help? Because people might be sitting silently and they are not as financially literate as you might wish to be to them, because, you know, not knowing, not seeing that I've added 2 plus 2 is 4, and then the next page 2 plus 7 is 4. It shows that there is need for empowerment. Maybe some of them need help more than a criticism. It may not be laziness or any other, but maybe an assessment form circulated in the not punitive, not for punitive purposes, but for the purpose of assisting them. The other one is, I hear you, the gentleman is talking about too many government financial systems. I'm surprised when we're talking about that, because we've already partnered with more than 4 billion on integrated financial management system. Where are we now? Where is that story? If we're still complaining about that, it means up to now we have no value for money on that system. Because if we had that system right, I think we'll be a long way towards solving many problems on the financial management in the country. So, as the chairperson, I would like information that they come and give us a presentation on how far is the integrated financial management system, because we can't for 25 years be complaining about systems that do not talk to each other. It can be. We need to solve it at some time. And then the other one, yeah, on the redundant system that I asked. You know, this is very important. I would really like in those schedules to see the reason for a government official calling it redundant, because it may happen that you've got so many computers, and like me, I run a computer school, I need a few computers, and then I just declare this computers redundant, you know. So I would like to see the reasons, because if we are not very careful on that one, it can bring down the economy of the country. One day, we had a situation in this country of SAA where one person just decided to sell aeroplanes. Aeroplanes were sold. And after being sold, the money did not come back to the department. And that is the reason we are sitting and sleeping with today, SAA. We'll never solve that one, because it is money that was, it's assets that were removed from the project, but money was never realized. And after some time, we will have forgotten about what happened. Like today, SAA, we're talking all sorts of stories. It's not that. It's because we sold our fly machines and we are hiring fly machines. We don't have to.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a few specific questions for clarity, if I may. On slide 24, if I could just take you through the first bullet point there. Number of schools built through the Accelerated School Infrastructure Initiative, a CIDI, that have reached practical completion and handed over to the beneficiaries for usage as reflected in the MTSFBS, number of new schools built and completed through a CD in the annual performance plan. Now, I just wanted to know from you, when you look at this, do you investigate such a thing as this word completed? Because the annual performance plan calls for schools to be completed. You report on practical completion. When we went and visited sites in the Eastern Cape, we learned of this new expression I'd never heard of before, virtual completion, which is a means by which the contractors get money out of you before they really should. Now, does virtual completion and practical completion, do they have any correlation with each other? What do you actually understand by practical completion? When is it finally and fully completed? Because surely that is the measure one should use. Completion means completion after all. It doesn't mean half completion or whatever else it might mean. It must mean completion. If I can take you to slide 31, it is. And here I just want to understand what you're actually telling us in these slides, in this first section. Where you say vote 18, correctional services. First bullet point, you say the tabled APP reflects providing detention that is humane, safe, secure, etc. Presumably that is what the purpose is, or that's the target in general terms. And then we have further bullet points. 80% of sentenced offenders will be subjected to correctional programs. Is that part of the target, or is that what has happened? Are you saying that's what should be happening, or this has actually happened? Then 80% of offenders participate in skills development programs again. What are you actually telling us? Was this what they intended or still intend, or has this actually been achieved? And then we say monitoring performance on incarceration. 0.034% of inmates who escape from correctional centres and remand detention facilities, and we left hanging. What's the rest of that sentence? Who escape from what? Is it just, are we being told the number of inmates who escape, or are we being told something about them? Because the language leads me to think that there's something more in the sentence that's not there. The next one, 4.7% of inmates injured as a result of reported assaults in correctional centres. This surely can't be a target unless we're trying to limit it to that number. Is it what's actually happened? You know, it doesn't tie up with what we've been told before, and I just want to understand what it is you're actually telling us. And then the last one, 39% of overcrowding in correctional centres. That's a terrible thing. Nearly 40% overcrowding. So obviously we're way behind the curve in terms of providing the correct number of correctional facilities for the demand we have. Presumably this is the current situation. It can't be a target. It can't be what we want. It must be something we'd rather do without and reduce this. So can you just unpack for me what it is you're actually reporting to us in a slide like this? I think I had just one last one, if I may, Madam Chair. Sorry? Have I given three? I've done two, I think. Feel free. Thank you, ma'am. Misheard you. Then I'll take two more, ma'am. One's very short. Military veterans. Just what you say there. Again, what was the target and what was the success rate? Can we get an idea? That would give us more of an idea of you doing performance monitoring and evaluation. I'm not getting that from you here. You're just giving us a statement, but it doesn't actually say anything much. And then the next slide on that is slide number 34, I think it is. The 1, 2, 3, 4. Fourth bullet point. 65 investigations of rape by a police officer that are decision ready over the medium term. The mind boggles. What does that actually mean? That are decision ready. Who's going to make what decision? And what do you mean by over the medium term? Surely if the rapes have happened already, we shouldn't be hanging about to see whether we're going to decide whether they're going to happen or whether we're going to prosecute or whatever else it might mean. I'm just a little puzzled about what it is again you're actually telling us. Thank you, ma'am.
I was trying to figure out if first whether what you are telling us here, maybe let me put it this way. When you look at the department's APPs and goals and targets, as they present them to you, they would probably attach the budgets to all of those things. And that's what we were trying to make sense of when we asked you to come and present here. Now let me ask you whether, in your view, what you've seen so far about this 2018-19 budget speaks to the needs of the country, and therefore your expectations and our expectations would be that these departments will deliver this year. Because that's what we wanted to see, and that's not the complete picture that we are seeing. Because as Honorable McLachlan said, we are dealing with money. We wanted to see whether we are going the right direction insofar as the budgeting and the expected expenditure, therefore. So, secondly, departments have now submitted these APPs to the portfolio committees. Budgets are being debated and adopted. And you have seen some mismatches. When then are you planning to get to these departments and say, correct these things before you start spending? Because there are implications, budgetary implications, if certain things don't quite get together, if there are certain figures that don't quite tally. So, that would probably, Chairperson, necessitate DPME coming back to us and speak a little further on these APPs, the goals, and the attached budgets and implementation, because that's what is missing at this point. And we can't, as this committee, make sense of whether budgets that departments have presented and are getting approved are actually speaking to the issues that this country needs attended to using this current year's budget.
Presently, we have received a narrative report from you on the alignment of the budget and the MTEF and subsequently the MTSF, medium-term strategic framework. And we really appreciate the information. But now, the trend has been that we get these narrative reports, regardless of also your, because I want to believe that where you have found anomalies or gaps, we have been able to give those departments feedback, and we have also advised or recommended on the corrective measures. All right. Same applies to your analysis of their APPs. You say you have been able to go back to them to say, fill these gaps. Now what I want to know is, in that process, have you also looked at the corrected versions of their APPs? Remember, you're monitoring. Have you looked at the corrected version? It's something else to say correct this, and you know, now, by now we know the types of officials we deal with. You say do this, and they do the opposite. So just to make sure that those gaps that we identified have been filled. But moving away from the narrative,
what do you think about this department also doing or receiving the income statements and the balance sheets, the quarter, so that you can analyze the correspondence of the performance and the expenditure at that stage. Why I'm saying this, just because, for instance, today we're sitting with a situation where we hear there is, in one department, there is money to the value of 3 billion unaccounted for. But we're able to say that at the tail end, a situation that if we were closely monitored, we would not have been sitting with now. So the other alternative then becomes you also receiving their income statements for that quarter and their, so that I think we must really put these people in a corner in terms of monitoring. Yes, the performance targets that they've missed, but how much money has been spent from the money that they've received at that level? And how much money, so that you can then start making noise as early as possible to say, hey, there's a high risk. If you don't do 1, 2, 3, at the end of the financial year, we will be receiving money that is not accounted for. And what makes me to talk like that is that I know that in one of the presentations that we got, we also heard that much as the overall government, maybe government financial performance is at 98%, but the actual program implementation or targets of those is at 28%, something like that. Am I right? Who can remind me? Members, the 28%. We, in one of our presentations, okay, but if it's not 28, because I just can't recall the number, but somewhere it's very less, that mismatch between the expenditure, the financial expenditure and non-financial performance, that mismatch, because you would want to know that if you have performed so much and you've used so much budget, where is this money? Because there has not been value for money. So our interest is value for money. And our interest is following, okay, we assist with the consideration of this and then a submission to the House for adoption, but after that, we follow the performance and expenditure on a quarterly basis. So you are strategic partners in assisting us to do our work effectively and efficiently. So that's what I'm talking about. Receiving income statements and your balance sheet that at a quarterly, or you could then say which one would be more feasible, is it quarterly or 6 monthly? Because that's still monitoring. Mm. It says that we'll be monitoring the performance without the actual figures, monitoring the expenditure itself. All right, so over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much for those questions and comments on honourable members. Okay, with regard to the cut and paste and the lack of empowerment, I do agree. When we started a few years ago, we noticed that there was no alignment between the planning and budgeting documents. And we went on a very wide-scale capacity building program across national and provincial sphere of government. And as a result of that, we actually saw a lot of improvement in terms of getting the alignment correct between documents. And we do take your recommendation that we should actually focus on further empowerment programs to see how we can deal with the challenges with regard to these copy and paste kind of challenges we're experiencing. So thank you for that. In terms of the redundant assets, as my colleague John said, we have started the work. And you rightly ask the reasons why a government official considers it redundant. So we actually basically developing a framework now in terms of how we define a redundant asset, what the criteria will be used. So it will be a standard framework which we will share and consult on it with, for example, National Treasury, the Auditor General, just so that we know that we are on the right path to actually defining what a redundant asset is. But your point is taken, that we need to have consistent definitions and terminologies in terms of redundant assets. But also, instead of asking a government official why they consider it redundant, we can actually set the terms and criteria as to what constitutes a redundant asset. So in this audit, we'll have consistency, you know, across the three spheres of government in terms of what a redundant asset is. In terms of the questions raised on slide 24 with regard to the scores completed, I actually feel that that question is quite relevant, because at the end of the APP, we have a technical indicator description, which actually defines what each indicator means. So for example, when we have words such as completed, the technical indicator definition will actually say what completed is. For departments and sectors with huge budgets, we also ask them to have standard operating processes for each of the indicators. So for example, education and health, we encourage that, even though it's not legislated as yet. But all national and provincial departments have technical indicator descriptions, which defines what each indicator means. So for example, if you're visiting a school in Eastern Cape, etc., you go to the TID, or the Standard Operating Procedure, see what the definition of completed is. And it should be, as we know it, a school that's there and ready for learners to actually, you know, attend and start learning. And that is a mechanism that we use. The AG also uses the TIDs that we have actually introduced to actually audit departments against, and they actually find it very, very useful. In terms of slide 31 and slide 34, my colleague Yudi will speak to it, but I just want to speak to the fact that I do agree with you, because at face value, these indicators look very vague. They're vague, they look very immeasurable. And I understand why you're actually achieving some challenge with actually understanding it. So even when I read it, you know. But if you look at the assessments that we send out to, for example, this department, we would have raised it. We would have raised that these are the challenges. But I think that goes back to the very important recommendation that the chair made, that we need to start focusing on the tabled APPs to see if our recommendations are actually being taken into consideration. Because it's one thing to give recommendations to departments on the first and second draft, but we don't always establish whether they take our recommendations. So thank you very much for that. But those challenges you see, we see as well, and all national and provincial departments do get assessment reports that actually reflect these challenges. With regard to the presentation and the fact that you asked whether it speaks to the needs of the country, what we did for the 2014-2019 electoral cycle is that we actually issued a directive to all national, provincial and local government institutions to say that the medium-term strategic framework is not negotiable. So when we speak about the priorities and needs of the government for this particular five-year period, we're always referencing to the medium-term strategic framework. Even when you look at the assessment that DPME does, and we give it to each national department, it always speaks to alignment of plans to the medium-term strategic framework. And in the slides that I presented this morning, there were majority of departments that are fully aligned to the medium-term strategic framework. So they, in essence, do speak to the priorities of government for this particular planning cycle. We note your comment that we need to come back and speak a little bit further on the goals and the budgets, and we'll do that. And then the chair made, as I said, she made the recommendation which we will take going forward in terms of looking at tabled APPs to see if our recommendations are taken into account. And finally, the last one on income statements and balance sheets on a quarterly or a biannual basis. What DPME has done is we've actually introduced this concept of performance dialogues. Performance dialogues are basically, we call it non-threatening conversations with departments. We host it together with National Treasury, so we are partners in this process. And we have dialogues every quarter. And from an agenda point of view, National Treasury speaks to value for money. Are we getting value? And DPME speaks to alignment to priorities of government, alignment to planning, feedback from the monitoring that we're doing, whether it's frontline monitoring or quarterly performance reports or POA. So that's a mechanism we get to actually get departments to start talking about their challenges. And by bringing Treasury, DPME, and the department into the room, we can understand together what the challenges are. And then we can implement strategies as to how we're actually going to assist the department. And the thinking around the performance dialogues is that we want it to be non-threatening. So department is actually quite truthful in saying, these are our challenges, and this is where we need your assistance. We've piloted it about 2 or 3 years ago, and I must say it is bearing fruit. We have had 1 or 2 successful dialogues. We have done follow-ups to see whether recommendations have been affected, and they have. Once again, this is a project that's work in progress, but we do see it going forward in terms of achieving the priorities of government. With that, I want to hand over to UD and John, if they'd like to add anything.
Just to respond to the indicators for correctional services. So what we did when we prepared the presentation, we didn't want to, well, it's long, but we were trying to cut it short. But what you basically see there is the indicators that they have. So instead of you seeing I'm looking for the slide. Okay, so the intention there is the percentage of sentenced offenders participating in schools in skills development programs. So they are targeting to make sure that the inmates actually take part in the skills programs. So we just shortened the information in the slide, but it's actually an indicator measuring the percentage of offenders who are subject to correctional programs. And the other ones regarding incarceration, they actually want to reduce the percentage of inmates who escape and those who get injured. If you look at their APP, they're actually maintaining the percentage. And when we engaged with them, we said they should be aiming to reduce and not continue to have the same number of escapes or the same number of injuries. But they're in their APP, they're maintaining those percentages. But the conversation that we had with them, or the recommendations that we made to them when we looked at their draft APP, was to say, you need to be saying you want to reduce the number of inmates who escape from prisons, or those from correctional centers, or those who get injured within correctional centers. So as much as it's written as 4.7% inmates injured, the intention is not to have them injured, but they are measuring the reduction in the number of those who get injured within the centers. So it's just how we put it in the slide. Even for IPED, where they have 55 investigations of rape, it's the number of investigations that should be finalized. So these were the targets for 2018-19, but in some instances they have the same target for the next 3 years, which is where we put over the medium term. So over the medium term is over the next 3 years, they want to investigate 130 investigation of deaths that happened because of police action. So we just shortened it, but in the APP it's clear, and where we were not happy with the way they are targeting, we have reflected it in the second draft, and this is what they have in the tabled plan. So the comment about us assessing the tabled plan to see whether all the recommendations that we made are actually taken into consideration is important. And some of this misalignment we saw and is after tabling. But now it's about when we communicate to them to say, you didn't take some of the recommendations that we gave to you, you tabled the plan, which is still misaligned. Now, what is the process that you're going to follow to make sure that there is alignment between the MTSF and the APP and between the APP and the APP?
Thank you, Chair. I could perhaps speak to Honourable Kubasa's question that's quite pointed about, I think you asked, what you have seen in the budget, does it speak to the needs of the country? And are the budgets speaking to the issues that the country needs? And I think in some ways we might be the wrong people to be asking, because we are part of the budget process with the National Treasury. So on the budget priorities framework, we've worked with Treasury. We've worked, you know, we've sat with Treasury in the medium-term expenditure committee. After the medium-term expenditure committee, members would know that there were huge pressures because of economic trends, but also the pressures from especially post-school education and training and so on. So if there is an appropriations bill, I mean, we've really been part of the process of drafting that, and I think we hinted it in the presentation that given the circumstances that we faced with, you know, we think that Treasury has done in the very good job of balancing the different imperatives of looking after the poor, but also stimulating the economy. So I think into that question there is that answer that yes, we've been part of this process, and that we think you know, this is the best the country can do at that stage. But we raise the issue that there are warning signals. The Treasury itself raises in the budget review the issue of that, you know, our infrastructure spending is not growing as fast as we would want it in a developing country. There are all these other life isodemies, the listeriosis and so on. We know that the learner teacher ratios are increasing in the provinces, so yes, this is what we can do at this stage. But I think there's hard thinking in the next year, because even though, you know, we have this budget, there are lots of challenges that we have to deal with going forward. So I think that is sort of the broad question or answer to this question of, you know, does this budget speak to the needs of the country? So certainly we think so, but I think we all realize we've got to be vigilant and assess what is going on a continuing basis. And I think partly also where DPME is trying to strengthen its approach is exactly on saying, you know, but that money can be better used in different ways. And so on. But I think it actually also indicates this is an ongoing process to get better at interrogating inefficiencies and those kind of things. And I think what we've seen in government over the last 6 months, that there has been some movement in some of these areas to start fixing the things that have been identified in the mandate paper, but also a lot more broadly, such as the, say, state-owned companies and so on. Thank you.
It does look like we've exhausted our discussion. Thank you so much. I just want you to give us your closing statement. Okay, thank you very much for having us here this morning. We have noted your recommendations, and we are grateful for it, because there are a few of them we'll be implementing as soon as we go back. I also note the fact that we actually work very closely with the Parliamentary Budget Office, and the Chair also noted it, where we share our quarterly performance reports with you on a quarterly basis. Just to let you know, we also collect quarterly performance reports from provincial sphere of government as well, and we're quite willing to share that with you. So thank you very much, and moving forward, we are welcome to assist you with any other information that you may need. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You are right. It was an information session.
and where we also raised other areas where we think you should pay attention to assist us, and we all assist this nation building. All right. But thank you so much, honorable members, for coming and for your quality inputs. I'd also like to thank you for your presentation, whose highlights are as follows. One, the budget priorities framework, where we are, we clear about those, because then our expectation will be alignment of all departments and programs with those priorities. Also the NDP levers and the NDP targets. Very important, because the mandate paper for 2018 talks to the alignment of those. Now, failure of which we will be failing the NDP itself. All right? Also, what came out from your presentation was, or what was highlighted from your presentation was the MTF adjustments. Very clear, and also the figures, you know, and the areas that were affected. So thank you very much for that information. It's going to assist us big time. Well, in our engagement, members have expressed the need for the alignment of the department's APPs, the NDP indicators, all indicators, because we have found that not all indicators are included in the department's APPs. And then we then referred that report to you to say, can you assist us when you validate the department's APPs and the budget, the alignment between the APPs, NDP indicators, and the budget. For the realization of the NDP priorities by 2030, a process which has already started in this MTSF period. So this was the first phase. So as we continue, because it was the first time, you would also expect some teething problems. But as we continue, we then strengthen. So the only way of strengthening to us is this alignment and the budget. Because if we don't, then you give departments reasons for failure to implement the NDP. And they will then say, but the budget does not address. But it all starts with alignment of the plan and the budget. All right? Members have requested for the identification of the redundant assets. And here, you will be assisting government. You will also be assisting government in terms of, because it is the duty of the responsibility of the departments to identify all those redundant assets, dispose of those assets, and remove them from the asset register. A situation, if not addressed and is caught by the Auditor General, might put them into trouble. Might find themselves having an adverse, just because of the register that has not been updated in terms of new and removing the old ones. But also, I'll give you a practical example. At one stage, there was an issue. I think we must just be sensitive to it. Of the, it was raised by the Auditor General, of the unbundling of the assets. You know what they meant there? Those heights at a local government level, and was threatening to give them an address because they did not have that information. So you see, that's why we say it is about time. Let's not wait until it is too late. Let's start. And because then it also assists in terms of your infrastructure planning, because where you have to replace the old pipes, that thing must be in the infrastructure plan. So if we don't identify those redundant, and you know, so then we might be left behind, and when we wake up, it will be too late. We will not be having pipes anymore, and there will be no water coming out through the old pipes that were put by the then government. They had to put it, but with us, every time you update Am I right or wrong?
Mm-hmm.
So somebody must also think about those, so that we're not too late in terms of our plans and the resuscitation of all those infrastructure, old infrastructure that needs to be resuscitated. Okay. Now, thanks for the non-financial performance information, which is what we got today. But in our discussion, we have then raised this to another level. We said, let's just not focus on that to assist the department. Let's now move and also focus on monitoring of the income statement and the balance sheet on a quarterly basis. I don't know, honorable members, you must assist me on what is practical, quarterly basis or 6 monthly basis. Honorable members, what do you think? Those who get this money, which one would? Because you need to have enough information to be able to work on that. Quarterly? Yes, if it's quarterly, you should. You know what, you should have a quarterly information, because obviously they would have spent. So we spent so much. So this is what is remaining in the budget. Honourable member Shopestola, I know you, this is your area of specialization. Is it feasible to get a quarterly income statement and a balance sheet?
That is what should be happening. You know, at Checkers, they balance every day. They don't close the door before they reconcile.
So on a
but
daily basis.
You see, the problem is, if you read the report of the Auditor General, usually departments get qualified a report audit outcome, because when the Auditor General look for the original document, they are lost. They are nowhere to be found. Officials have even forgotten where they have put them. 3 months, they will still remember. Even if they put them under the carpet, they will still remember the corner.
So you see, here you also be assisting
the department to catch up the position where it was pushed. And by the way, by the way, the Office of the Accountant General receives compiles a report on a monthly basis. When I was still in Limpopo, I used to request Comrade Freeman to send me on a monthly basis, and I used to get it. I don't see why they can't.
You can get it, and then you analyze it, and give it to me. I think this is what, to me, close monitoring. Because it's been monitoring, but it does not look like we have achieved or not wanted to achieve. We've made it. So now we are changing our strategy. Driving a car, then you change your gear. So we change our strategy. Let's try it. Even if it has never happened before, there's always the first time. Judge us by our good intention. To help them. And also to account on every. But thank you so much. This has been a fruitful engagement. So we see you soon. The social we want to see that arising. Also, we start with money now, at the end of now. And then maybe we can then discuss on the amendments pertaining to the TTS. It has not happened because budgets are now cut. When is the integrated financial management?
Well,
But Mahmoud, I think it's more than management system. It's
or is it forgotten, thrown away?
I think it's the operational systems, the administrative systems, you know, and so I mean, that's part of the problem.
They can look into everything at once.
Page 2, ma'am, if we can go there. Just the heading of Section 2, it says presentation by the Financial and Fiscal Commission. It should read the Public Service Commission.
Cut and paste. Cut and paste.
Okay, so I'll just touch on the key highlights of the program for tomorrow.
The first one, the chairperson will do the introductory remarks and welcome everyone. And then Mr. Herbert Berger will be the program facilitator the entire day. And then in terms of the stakeholders, that will be on the panel. First we have COSATU, Mr. Tony Ehrenreich, and then we have Abahlali Basemjondolo Movement South Africa. We will also have the Social Justice Coalition, the Business Unity South Africa, and the South African Women in Dialogue. One stakeholder that is there to confirm is the NYDA. We haven't received their confirmation. We're waiting for them to confirm today. And then the most important part, Chair, is that members will be afforded the opportunity to also engage, to interact, because yes, but the most important aspect of this, it should be a dialogue, because we've got different members of the society, people who represent women, people with disabilities, the youth who will be coming there. So I guess it will be an interesting one. The program will start at 8:25 or 9. So between 8:25 to 8:50, that will be tea and registration, and then it will end at 1:30.
Thanks, Chair.
I will just give Pelan an opportunity, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Honourable members, we try by all means, as you have heard, the list of the organisations to be as inclusive as we can, because the main intention of the dialogue is to make sure that you draw society from all angles. So when you discuss the budget and you approve the appropriations, you look at it at different lenses: your women, your people with disabilities, your rural areas, your youth, and so forth. Now, the challenge that we've been facing is the response from all those stakeholders, the unemployed people as well. We thought it was very important to also to take those into account, because those are the people that are not normally represented in such platforms. And so the Appropriations Bill is the budget that they themselves need to have a voice in. Now, be that as it may, Chair, there are three speakers that will be respondents. As far as the program is concerned. One is Mrs. Ifri from the Studies in Poverty and Inequality Institution. The second one is Prof. N. Vigi from University of Pretoria. The third one will be the Parliamentary Budget Office. So those three people will form part of the panel that will be responding to the discussion tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Start, and then in the next financial, whether we are there or not, some members will be there. they can then build up on you.
Yes.
Thank you. So this is one of the legacies.
But you'll be there. Why are you?
No, in politics nothing is guaranteed. So sorry, work along those lines. You can't even sit in the frustration.
You can't be.
You were just a yay, but I was told
I'm
that
the only one who's allowed to
come to an end.
Chair, thanks, Chair. I think, Chair, it will also be important to emphasize to honorable members that the dialogue is not the public hearing.
Yeah.
We are still going to have a public hearing on Friday.
Yeah.
So hence, the speakers will have very short 6 minute here to speak on their notes.
Yeah.
Just to facilitate the discussions around the views of different stakeholders so that we can take from that discussion whatever we think is important for the appropriations bill report and form recommendations of that report. And we know going forward, how do we think the budget should look like given all those views?
And then we also thought we use that platform to educate people about the appropriations.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we went out to Kailisha, remember what they said, those people did not understand. So they came with all types of questions for the department responsible for which we didn't have. So this was when we, so that in future when we advertise, they must get involved. So we want to stimulate the interest and also so that we get cutting across professionals and, the society and all different sectors. Thank you very much.
Thank you.